Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like to draw your attention today to verses 4 and 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Hear now the words of God. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. May God bless the reading of his word to his glory and our good by the Holy Spirit. As you know, we're in this section of 1 Thessalonians, and we have covered 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And the Apostle Paul was addressing an issue where the Thessalonians had falsely thought that their loved ones who had died in Christ, who were asleep, had somehow missed the rapture. And he was clear to them that he does not want them to sorrow as those who have no hope. And he clearly lays out that everyone who is in Christ Jesus, spiritually united to him, that their bodies, being still united with Christ, will rest in the grave until the resurrection. That when Christ comes again to rapture the church to himself, it will be the dead in Christ who will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. The rapture, raptured in Latin. And he says, we haven't missed it. It's still in the future. And Christians will know it and experience it. And just because we have died, don't think we've missed it. Our union with Christ is permanent, body and soul. And our bodies will rest in the grave until Christ comes again to rapture the church to himself. And now we're in this section in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. About the day of the Lord, as we've seen in verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And they were wondering about the times and seasons, chronological time and the various season that it would take place. The wrath of God, when it comes, the final judgment. For the day of the Lord is one of judgment. Look at verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That after the rapture will be the day of the Lord. After the church is raptured, the day of the Lord will come, and it will be a day of wrath. As we've covered, the Thessalonians were experiencing great persecution. Paul's on his second missionary journey. Paul, Silas, and Timothy had shared the gospel in Thessalonica. They were forced to leave under great persecution, as we saw at the beginning of Acts 17. And the Thessalonians, though new believers, had great testimony of their faith, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. But they were experiencing great persecution and wondered, are we in the day of the Lord? Are we experiencing God's wrath? And the Apostle Paul is clear, no, we are destined for salvation, not the day of the Lord, not God's wrath. Look at verses 1 through 3, just to read them. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And as we shall see, it will be unbelievers who are going to experience the day of the Lord. They, who are they? Unbelievers. Those who are not raptured, not raptured. And the unbelievers are going to experience sudden destruction. Once they have embraced this lie and deception of peace and safety, and we said there's no peace and safety unless one is in Christ Jesus, by faith alone and Christ alone. But unbelievers falsely think that they have it in and of themselves. there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death, destruction. Unbelievers will be ignoring the labor pains as a woman in childbirth. As we said, for unbelievers, every pain and suffering they experience in this world is a foretaste of hell, a foretaste of God's wrath. Every toothache, every headache, every broken bone, every cancer, for an unbeliever, is a foretaste of hell, and God's wrath that's coming, the day of the Lord. Remember, for you and I in Christ Jesus, God is no longer our judge. We're adopted as sons and daughters. He's our Heavenly Father. And therefore, every pain and suffering is transformed into something different, a sanctifying work to purify us and form Christ within us from a loving Heavenly Father. In our text today, what he is establishing is that Christians, believers, are by nature different than unbelievers. That God has changed us. He uses this metaphor, this analogy, that we're of light and walk in the day. And the unbelievers are of night and darkness. That they're of a different nature than what we are. And therefore they walk differently. He's establishing this same logical sequence of a worthy walk. So in our text today, in verses 4 and 5, he wants the Thessalonians and us to understand as Christians that we are by nature different than unbelievers. We're of light and day, they're of night and darkness, by nature. And how they think and how they live, and how we think and how we live. Totally different by nature. And therefore, we live life differently. And that's what he'll be flowing into, Lord willing, next week. We'll be getting into then the therefore in verse 6. Therefore, when we know that we are by nature different of light and day, then we do not sleep as them. We're awake. We're sober. We live differently. We have a worthy walk. We live in light of the truth. We worship and serve the living and true God in our lives. We've embraced the truth that God is the living and true God in Christ Jesus, and we serve him. It's been the theme of Thessalonians. And personally, I think the lead text of Thessalonians is 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, and 10. In 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, and 10. Look back at that. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. He saves us from the day of the Lord. He saves us from the wrath to come. It all is accomplished by his death, burial, and resurrection. He was raised from the dead. But that gets applied to you and I spiritually. We get spiritually united to the risen Lord Jesus Christ so that when he died to sin, we died to the mastery of sin and idolatry. When he was buried, we were buried. And when he rose in newness of life, we rose in newness of life. In the rebirth, the spiritual rebirth and regeneration, we have been turned away from worshiping and serving idols, living in darkness and night. And now we're in the light. Born again, spiritually alive in Christ, worshiping and serving the living and true God in Christ Jesus. And when you and I live life with this understanding, this doctrinal understanding, what God has done to us, he turned us. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He turned us away from idolatry, worshiping and serving idols, to now worshiping and serving him. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. So this is the worthy walk in chapter 2, verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called you away from idolatry now to worship the living and true God and serve him alone. It's the effectual call of God. In all of this, in our text today, do not be like Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, when Jesus started to explain to him, you must be born again. To see the kingdom of God, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And you remember Nicodemus says, well, how can I go back into my mother's womb? Do not think of light and darkness in physical terms. Jesus was talking about spiritual terms with rebirth. Oh, may God open your eyes to spiritually see and understand what light and darkness, day and night means, as Jesus meant by rebirth and being born again. Spiritual truths are represented in our text by light and day and by night and darkness. As Christians, we are new creations in Christ. We have a renewed mind. No longer are our minds darkened in understanding. We have a renewed mind. We're born again spiritually. And born again spiritually, then, our goal and mindset is to glorify God in all things. To live coram Deo in Latin. To live before God's presence, under His authority, and for His glory in all things. The Pharisees were involved in charitable giving, praying, and fasting. Matthew 6, 1 through 18. But they did it to receive praise from men. The innermost part of who we are, the foundation of our life, is the rock of Jesus Christ. And because we're born again, we have a new nature in Christ Jesus. The foundation of our heart, the innermost reality of who we are, is a new creation in Christ Jesus. And our focus is to please the Heavenly Father then in all things. When we have charitable giving, when we pray, and when we fast, it is all to please our Heavenly Father from the heart, from the center of who we are. You've got to understand with your minds what God has done. Believers are sinners made new in Christ. The title of our sermon this day. Please follow along with today's sermon using the outline that's in the bulletin. Point one. Believers are ready for God's final judgment. Believers are ready for God's final judgment, the day of the Lord. We're ready. The future day of the Lord, this is mentioned in chapter 5, verse 2, and in our text here, verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day, with a capital D, what day? The day of the Lord, the final judgment that's coming, God's wrath. The future day of the Lord will bring sudden destruction, verse 3, it will come suddenly upon the unbelievers, and God's wrath, verse 9, will come suddenly upon unbelievers. But this day will not overtake you and me in Christ Jesus as a thief. As we said, never in the Bible is the analogy of a thief used for the rapture. Never. The analogy of a thief is used for the day of the Lord, when calamity is coming, judgment is coming. And as we said, no sane thief is going to tell you in advance when they're coming to rob you. Come suddenly. But this day will not overtake you and me as a thief. That's verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. It won't. And I ask you, why? Why? It's because we're made new in Christ Jesus. We're new creations in Christ. You and I, from the very center of who we are, we're waiting. As we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, we're waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting in great anticipation of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We're watching for Christ's return. Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37. We read that in our last sermon. No one knows the day or the hour, Jesus said. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, or the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest, coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. If we're really in Christ Jesus, if we're really born again, we're working and we're watching and we're waiting. We're ready. Jesus stressed that as well in Matthew 24:45-51, with the faithful servant and the foolish servant. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, finds him so doing, finds him busy working and serving the master. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, the day of God's wrath, to the one who is not working and watching and waiting. If we're really in Christ Jesus, we have a renewed mind. God changed us. That is why we are waiting and watching and working. We're different than the unbelievers. God changed us. God made us new creations in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and remember, this is the Apostle Paul's most favorite phrase of describing a Christian. In Christ. 164 times he says, in Christ, you're in Christ Jesus, you're in Christ Jesus the Lord. Spiritual union with him. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God changed us. Right thinking goes before right living. Right thinking goes before right living. The indicatives go before the imperatives. We said that when we went through Ephesians. Basically, the beginning of Ephesians is the indicatives. What God has done for us and to us in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Indicatives are descriptive words describing what God has done. The imperatives are the commands. Live in light of it. This is what we have here. He says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief, but you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night and of the darkness. We're different. God has changed us. He made us different. We once were of the night and of the darkness, but no longer. It's the whole idea of a worthy walk. That's described in chapter 2, verse 12, that we read, all that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you out of darkness into his own kingdom, right? It's the effectual call of God that calls us into his kingdom and glory. And that we would, in our minds, reckon it to be so and live in light of it. Worthy is the idea of balanced, axios, from that word in the Greek. A balanced, axios walk. Okay, God has done certain things to us. He's changed us. Therefore, live in light of it. So grow in the grace and knowledge of God and what he's doing and has done, and then increase in your holiness and walk with God. A worthy walk. And that's why that turning point in Ephesians is Ephesians 4:1. Oh, I beseech you, urge you, brethren, to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. And as we saw in Colossians 1:9-10, that opening prayer in Colossians, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We've got to walk worthy of God, meaning living in light of what God has done with right thinking, with right understanding. You think of Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As Christians, we believe one of the primary things that sets us apart from the animals, that says that we are created in the very image of God, is that we have a mind. We've been given human reason to think and understand. And God has described to us with words what he has done to us. He says, you're different. You used to be of the night. You used to be of the darkness, but no longer. Now you are of the day and of the light. God has changed you and made you a new creation in Christ. You and I must first know what God did to us and for us before we serve him. The command goes out, repent and believe. You and I, by the grace of God, repent. Turn away from idols to worship and serve the living and true God. As John MacArthur has said, we walk through the narrow gate by faith alone and Christ alone. And remember, the gate's so narrow, as J.C. Ryle said, you try and add anything to Christ, you won't fit. You can't add your own works in any way. It's Christ alone. We go through the narrow gate, and then we look back on it, and then we see all these scripture verses that it is by God's doing that you are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It is of God. It is by God's doing that you are in Christ Jesus. He is the one who has turned you away from idols to worship and serve the living and true God. It destroys sinful pride. We've got to know that he alone is worthy. The first mark of a Christian is humility. The first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. And to know that he alone is worthy. And our whole Christian life then is lived out of love and thankfulness for what God has done in Christ Jesus. And we know that nothing we do earns heaven. We're ready for God's final judgment because God has changed us and made us new creations in Christ Jesus. We live in a different sphere, as MacArthur said on this text. We live in a different sphere. We're in the world, but not of it. We have a totally different mindset. We're spiritually alive, no longer spiritually dead. And it is because of that fact, that indicative, that we know we're not destined for wrath, the day of the Lord. For it is for night people. Point one, believers are ready for God's final judgment. Point two, unbelievers are by nature sons of darkness and night. We're going to expand here on this idea that God changed us. So my point two is unbelievers are by nature sons of darkness and night. And point three is believers are by nature sons of light and day. God changed us. Unbelievers are by nature sons of darkness and night. The phrase, but you, notice there, beginning of verse 4 in our text, but you, brethren. That's a contrast with verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. We have this contrast between they and them, but you, brethren. And he stresses it with the word brethren. We're of the family of God, adopted as sons and daughters in Christ Jesus. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're different than they and them. You brethren, live life differently than they, the unbelievers. We mentioned it in last sermon. Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount. You remember the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Jesus ended that sermon with an analogy, a story of two houses, one built on sand and one built on the rock. And the question is for every one of us, upon what is the life of your house built upon? Is it the rock of Jesus Christ, confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, or not? If it is truly in Christ, then you know that you truly are at peace with God and safe. For when the judgment and wrath of God comes and the floods come, you'll be safe. But the one whose house of their life is built on the sand, sudden destruction will come when the storm of God's wrath comes. Now, I want you to think for a moment. When God created us, male and female, in his image, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it was all very good. Genesis 1, 31. We were by nature light and day at that point in creation. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. We know we're two parts. Genesis 2, 7. God formed man of dust of the earth, we have a physical body, and breathed into him the breath of life. We have a spirit, a soul. Two parts. Material part, body, dust. And as well, the breath of life. We have a spirit. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. He didn't die physically that day, did he? He was under the sentence of death bodily. He died bodily later on. But that day, he died spiritually. His spirit within him died that day. And when he died, we died. Romans 5:12. For by one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, so that death spread to all men, because all sinned. And he goes on in that wonderful section in Romans 5:12-19, that in Adam we were made sinners. When he died, we died. When he sinned, we sinned. From that point on, you can look and say then that we were by nature fallen. Nature, human nature, being a human being, refers to the innermost reality of who we are. We're a human being. We're created in the image of God, but it was shattered after the fall of sin. Shattered. We still retained aspects of it. We didn't lose the image of God. But it's been shattered at that point. So the innermost reality of human nature at that point was dark, was dead, was sinking sand. But you and I in Christ Jesus, when we're born again, when we're spiritually united to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the innermost reality of who we are is new. The foundation has been replaced. The innermost reality of who we are as a born-again, new creation in Christ Jesus is Christ. Remember I said Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones, when he preached through the Sermon on the Mount, his commentaries on it, he mentioned the two houses look the same above ground. It's illustrated in Matthew 6, 1 through 18. The Pharisees, involved in charitable giving, involved in praying, involved in fasting, things you see. The house of their life looks just like you or me. At the core of who they are, the innermost reality of who they are, they're idolaters. Darkness resides there. Sinking sand resides there. So that all they did everything for was human praise. But you and I, who are in Christ Jesus, who've been born again, the innermost reality of who we are, that foundation now is the rock of Christ. Therefore, every motivation and intent is to please the Heavenly Father, to glorify God. But the outward eye looks at the two houses of the lives as similar, the same. They both pray. They're both involved in charitable giving. They both may fast. But one is of the night and darkness, and one is of light, the day. In the world, but not of the world. I thought a lot about the NFL halftime show recently that we had, the Super Bowl. There's different responses by professing Christians. You know, Bad Bunny is the one who the NFL had, a transvestite sexual pervert. Many professing Christians said, well, who cares? It's the sinful world. Who cares? World's going to hell in a handbasket? Who cares? We're in Christ. We're the church. We live for God. Who cares what they do? You and I are to be separated from the sinful realm in terms of our mindset, to be in the world but not of it. Separation never means abandonment. The risen Lord Jesus Christ claims every square inch of the universe is His, and it ought to offend us, that halftime show. And we ought to want a better halftime show for our culture and nation and the world that is more honoring to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. If you took the mindset that I don't care, then that is a monastery mindset. You might as well go live in the desert with the Egyptian monks that started monasteries in the 300s. That's not Christianity. The wheat will be among the tares until the harvest takes place at the end. We're in the world, but not of it. And we are to redeem the times. Unbelievers are of the night and darkness. Unbelievers are of the night and darkness. It's their nature. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. They, them, verse 3, are in darkness. Verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. They, them, are of night and darkness. Verse 3, they, them, are of night and darkness. And what specifically does that refer to? I said, don't be like Nicodemus in John 3. Oh, you're telling me I got to be born again? How do I get back in my mother's womb? Don't think in physical terms. We know it's the light. It's daytime right now, and there's light outside. But don't think in physical terms. It's symbolic. It's referring to spiritual terms. And in particular, in Scripture, night and darkness is referring to willful, intellectual ignorance. Lies. Willful intellectual ignorance, lies, as well as moral depravity. Moral depravity. Those who are in darkness are immoral perverts. So two things are represented by night and darkness. And again, just to let you know, why does he repeat himself in a sense? Day, light, night, darkness. It's just hammering the point home. Point of emphasis. Okay? A point of emphasis. But those who have darkness are those who are of night. But it's two things there. Willful, intellectual, rational ignorance. Willfully choosing not to embrace objective truth, but rather lies. And moral depravity. Literally, sons of disobedience are by nature children of wrath. What I want to try and lay out for you is night and darkness referring to those two things. Willful intellectual ignorance, lies, is idolatry. What's the fundamental lie is about God. The fundamental lie is Psalm 14:1. There is no Elohim. The fool says in his heart, there is no God, in the sense, the fool says in his heart, there is no Elohim. There's no judge of me that I am accountable to. I am at peace and safety, living my life however I please. Idolatry. That's the fundamental lie that's embraced. Willful intellectual ignorance about the creator of the universe that we are all accountable to. And what flows out of that idolatry and ungodliness is moral depravity, unrighteousness. That's why I think the key text is 1 Thessalonians 1:9 and 10. God turned us to himself, away from idols, to worship and serve him, the true and living God. It's all about worship and service. Is it a lie, an idol, or is it the truth, the true and living God in Christ Jesus? Who do we worship and serve? Do we live in light and day? We worship and serve the living and true God in Christ. If we are of night and darkness, we worship and serve the lie, idols. Just listen to Romans 1, 18 and following. Many of you are familiar with this text. Romans 1, 18 and following. For the wrath of God is revealed, and that is in the perfect tense in the Greek, present, ongoing. It is revealed right now. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. There's the idolatry. Ungodliness is idolatry. It's a lie. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. That's the moral depravity. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. What truth? Truth about who God is, who we are accountable to as creatures. Verse 19, Romans 1, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, you got to sit and savor that one. God made it so clear they know the truth, and then they willfully reject it. They willfully choose ignorance and a lie. This is the universal guilt and condemnation of all men, even those in the jungle that have never had the Bible, resides on this text. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Darkened. They are of the night. They are of darkness. Because they willfully, intellectually, rationally refuse the truth that they are accountable to God their Creator. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. Birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. Again, Christianity is about twoism. Twoism. God is eternal. There was a point when all there was God. Eternal, self-sufficient, self-existent, independent, having no needs in and of himself, there was only God. And then at one point, he chose to create heaven and earth, all things. Two types of being. So if you do not worship God, what else is there? Creatures. It's the essence of idolatry, worshiping creatures. Verse 24, Romans 1, therefore God also gave them up. This is the wrath of God revealed. He's giving them over to it. You want it. You willfully rejected the truth of me. I'm giving you over to uncleanness and the lusts of your hearts to dishonor your bodies among yourselves. Because what did they do? Romans 1:25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Night and darkness refer to willful, intellectual ignorance, lies. Even though they knew God through the revelation He has given in creation, they willfully choose a lie to worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. And what flows out of that ungodliness and idolatry is moral depravity and sinfulness, unrighteousness. And you can read the end of Romans 1, that long list in 28 to 32. All sin flows from idolatry. The lie, darkness, darkness. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Ephesians 2, 1 and 3, glorious text on the spiritual resurrection each of us have experienced in Christ, who are truly in Christ. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. He died that day, Adam did, spiritually. We came into the world that way, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins in Adam. But you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. He goes on in Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. This I say, therefore, that, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened. Having their understanding darkened. What is that? That's Romans 1:21. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Don't walk that way, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. All of the unrighteousness and sin and moral depravity flows from the lie. Idolatry, darkened intellect and understanding, embracing an idol. It's a theme all through Scripture. That's why I included Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Sons of. Notice in verse 5 of our text, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. Sons of light and sons of day. But our old life is described in Ephesians 2:2 that we were once sons of darkness, sons of disobedience. We were once sons of disobedience. Sons of is a Hebrew idiom. You know, in America, we have all these idioms, all these sayings. Well, they had their own idioms and sayings. And sons of meant something special. It referred to the main influence in one's life. The main influence in one's life. I included just as one example, Mark 3:17, dealing with the two brothers, James and John. the sons of Zebedee, they're referred to as the sons of thunder. Sons of thunder. Why? Because anger and violence characterized their life. They were sons of thunder. It was a Jewish idiom to describe what is the main influence and characterization of your life. And this is where the Apostle Paul's writing to the Thessalonians saying, you're made new in Christ Jesus. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. That is what characterizes your lives in Christ Jesus. Whereas unbelievers, who characterizes their life as darkness. Darkness. John 3, 19 and 20. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. The innermost reality of who they are in the house of their life, what do they love? Darkness. In other words, they love idolatry, the fundamental lie. There's no Elohim, there's no God over me that I'm accountable to, no judge. I can live life however I please. Peace and safety. Satan, his demons, and all unbelievers will be sent to the eternal darkness of hell. Matthew 8:12 says they'll be cast into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 2 Peter 2, they're in chains of darkness, the angels that rebelled in the Old Testament. Jude verse 13, false teachers and apostates are doomed for the blackness of darkness. It's one of the reasons why we know Jesus bore hell itself on the cross. Darkness filled the sky when he was hanging on the tree. Full cup of God's wrath. Darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Point one, believers are ready for God's final judgment. You and I are waiting, watching, and working. Why? Because we're made new in Christ Jesus. Point two, unbelievers are by nature sons of darkness and night. They're not ready. They falsely say peace and safety where there is no peace. And it will come as a thief in the night. Sudden destruction will come upon them, the day of God's wrath, for their idolatry, their lies, and their wickedness, their moral depravity. Point three, believers are by nature sons of light and day. Our text. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so as this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. There's no third option. If you're really a Christian, if you're really in Christ, you're of light. You're of the day. So he's stressing it. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. Every single one who's really a Christian is of the light and of the day. Meaning light, we worship and serve the living and true God. By God's amazing grace, he entered the sinful, darkened world in the person of Jesus Christ. So beautifully expressed at the beginning of John's account of the gospel, John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. willful ignorance. And you and I beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Such glorious truths that God entered the sinful, darkened world in the person of Jesus Christ. The light has come into the world, John 3:19, that we read earlier. And he has come into the world in perfect righteousness and truth. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets, Matthew 5:17. This is why he was born of a woman, born under the law, Galatians 4:4. Born under the law to fulfill it and obey it in every respect, to be our perfect righteousness before God's throne. He spoke truth. He amazed the multitudes. Matthew 7:28 to 29. In other words, he spoke light. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119:105. Every word Jesus spoke was light, explaining to us how to live life and avoid harm and dangers and God's wrath. In his life, he never sinned. He redeemed us as the precious Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. No darkness, no sin. 1 Peter 2:22, he committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Only light. He died for us, the just. 1 Peter 3:18, he was just, he was righteous perfectly, in order to bring us to God. In Christ, we have new spiritual life. In Christ, we have new spiritual life. Ephesians 5:8 puts it this way, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. We were once darkness. We were once of the night and darkness. We were once sons of disobedience and children of wrath. We were once spiritually dead. But God made us alive in Christ Jesus. We are light in the Lord. He who is the light of the world lives in us. Galatians 2:20. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 says this, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that act of creation was done in our hearts. Believers are not in either intellectual or moral darkness. Believers are not in either intellectual or moral darkness. Why? Because we know and love the truth and walk in its light. You think of John 3:21, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. It shows a work of God when we see people come to the light by faith and repentance. God is calling them out of darkness into his marvelous light. Colossians 1:13. Jesus, John 8:12, said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. True life, eternal life in him. John 8:32, about his word and abiding in it, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. No longer enslaved to sin and darkness, but we are free in Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, and they embraced a lie And in that context, the idea of embracing the truth and loving the truth is the truth of who God is. Worshipping and serving the living and true God. And the lie in that context is idolatry. 1 John 1:6-9 says this, "If we say that we have fellowship with him, with Christ, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It is important for you and I to remember that we are called to be blameless, to pursue holiness with all men, but blameless. What do I mean? You're not going to find perfection with me. I have sin that remains in my body of death. But the overall influence and characterization of my life is light. Christ, not darkness. The Apostle Paul put it this way at the end of Romans 7:14, he said, "I am carnal, sold unto sin." This is after being a Christian a long time. Verse 18 of Romans 7, he says, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present within me, but how to perform what is good I do not find." Romans 7:22, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law or power in my members, warring against the law or power of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, the members of my body. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, the inner man, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Great battle is taking place within each one of us. But the innermost reality of who we are, our mind, the inner man, the foundation of our house, of our life, we serve God, and we seek to please him in all things. Because Christ lives in us and he's sanctifying us, forming himself in us through the Holy Spirit, he described us as the light of the world in Matthew 5:14, that you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. There is visibility. He should shine through us every day. As believers in Christ, you and I do not fear the day of the Lord, the day of God's wrath that's coming, because it is a day of darkness. Consider two texts from the Old Testament. Joel 2:2. "A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. Wide and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go thereby. And the day of the Lord will be a day of darkness, thick darkness." Amos 5:18-20. "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light." In Amos 5:20, "Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it?" 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Why is it that we should not fear we have missed the rapture? Why is it that we should not fear that we're experiencing in any way in suffering the day of the Lord? Because the day of the Lord is for night people, not those who are of the light and of the day and live in the light and of the day. We are in a different sphere. We're in the world, but not of it. We have a heavenly mindset to glorify God in all things, to worship and serve the living and true God in Christ Jesus, and to wait for His Son from heaven. We're ready for the rapture and will never experience the day of the Lord and God's wrath, because He has changed us and made us new creations in Christ. So I ask you, who are you? Who are you? Intellectually and morally. Dr. Sinclair Ferguson always asked new applicants at his church, what do you think about when you have nothing else to think about? As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Are you being transformed by the renewing of your mind? Is your mind set on heavenly things and not earthly things? Romans 12:2, Colossians 3:2. What do you think about when you have nothing else to think about? Do you serve God with the inward man, your mind? The way to the heart is through the mind. You only love and treasure the living and true God if you understand Him correctly with your mind. Do you understand the work that's been done for you who claim to put faith in Christ Jesus and repent of your sins? Do you know what God has done to you in making you a new creation? Reckon it to be so. Consider it to be so. The very first command in Romans 6. And live each day in light of that truth of what God has done. And Lord willing, we'll look further at the application of these indicatives next Sunday. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, You are heavenly. The Creator of all things, the One who resurrected us from spiritual deadness to spiritual life. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We are of the light and walk in the light. And our hope is the rapture. And with certainty, we know in Christ we will not experience the day of the Lord. May our hearts be filled with joy and thankfulness and love of You. May we always be waiting, watching, and working, serving You, being a living sacrifice. Every day, whether we eat, whether we drink, whatever we do, may it be all to Your glory out of love and thanks. For You saved us in Christ Jesus from the wrath to come. In His precious name we pray. Amen.